lessons on prayer. And brother, I'll turn it over to you. Thank you.
Okay, good morning, saints. Always good to be in the house of the Lord. You know, it's good to see Miss Jane back. We missed you. It's good to see Brother Bill back, too. So you guys keep coming. You do a lot for me in here. So thank y'all. All right, we're going to start out this morning in Luke chapter 11. So you can be turning there. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. And what we're going to be talking about today is what are some of the necessary ingredients for prayer. So we're going to look at Luke chapter 11. We're going to read verses 1 through 13, and then we're going to pray. Luke 11, 1 through 13 says, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, O Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity meaning persistence, because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread, any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask?" Let's go to the Lord in prayer now. Lord, I just thank you, Father, for your word, Lord, and what it teaches us, Lord. And Lord, I just ask you to be with us as we look at some of the ingredients of prayer, Lord. And Lord, I want you to get me out of the way. Help me not to say nothing that you don't want me to say. And guide us through this lesson. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so what we're going to look at here. Now, you guys know that I'm all over the Bible, so we get Bible drills when I teach. So we're going to do that this morning. The first point of some of the ingredients that are of prayer are one of them. Point number one, worship. Go to John 4. John chapter 4. John chapter 4. We're going to look at verse 24. John 4, verse 24. It says, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Now, I want to look, and you can go there if you want, or you can stay there. I'm going to go to 3 John. 3 John, and it's only one chapter, 3 John, right before Revelations and Jude. 3 John, I'm going to read you a few verses here. Verse number 1, it says, "The elder unto the well-beloved Gallius, whom I love in the truth." Verse 3, "For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth." Verse 4, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." Go to verse 8. "We therefore are to receive such that we might be fellow helpers of the truth." And verse 12, "Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true." Now, all these truths here, what does John 14:6 say about truth? John 14:6. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Jesus is the truth. And also it says in John 17:17, "Sanctify them through thy truth." That word is truth. So we see Jesus is the word. Jesus is the truth. The word is the truth also. So it tells us that we have to worship God in the spirit and in truth. Okay? We must recognize God for who he is. He is a spirit. Okay? So the first point, the first thing under point number 1 is worship. The next one is adoration. Adoration is simply paying honor and reverence to God. I looked that up, guys, in Webster's 1828 dictionary. Simply paying honor and reverence to God. And then the other point under point number 1, first was worship, then adoration, then praise. Praise is, we should praise him. Adoration and praise, they kind of go together. You know, and what's a good way to praise God? How do we do it here? We sing to him, right? You know, and one verse that, or one song that really always pops in my heart is, I even wrote it down, number 68 in our psalm, but praise him. Praise him, praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. You know, so we are to praise him. We are to have adoration for him. So under point 1, the three things are worship, adoration, and praise. Those are ingredients that we need to have in our prayer. Okay, point number 2, confession. Folks, in our own righteousness, none of us are worthy to approach the throne of God. I think you know that. What is it saying in Isaiah 64:6? Our righteousness is as what? Filthy rags, okay? So none of us are worthy enough to approach God on his throne. But because of our position in Christ and what Romans 4:24 says, to whom shall it be what? Imputed. Imputed means charged to your account. Says, to whom it shall be imputed if you believe on the Lord, believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. So we're talking about Jesus basically gives you his righteousness. He imputes it to you. So when God looks at you, he doesn't see filthy Gary here. He sees Jesus Christ. Because me believing on Jesus Christ, you believing on Jesus Christ, when God looks at you, he sees his righteousness, not ours. Okay? And then we're going to look at boldness. It says we have been instructed to boldly approach the throne of grace. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And we're going to look in verse 16. Hebrews 4:16. It says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. How do you come boldly to him? Through prayer. Okay? In Christ, our sins have been forgiven. And confession, 1 John 1:9, reminds us of God's mercy and helps us to assume a humble posture before him. So the second point is confession. That's one of the ingredients of prayer. Third point, restitution. Go to Luke chapter 19. Luke 19. We're going to read verses 1 through 10. Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. It says, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was of little stature. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. You know that. I know you do. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see, for he was to pass that way. And he climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. You can sing that song while you... That's the first thing that came to me when I was reading this. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And he said, what? Come down, for I'm going to your house today. I'm sorry. I had to do that. It's good. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that's a sinner. That's these, all the people, the publicans. They see Jesus going with this sinner to his house. Verse 8, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusations, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. For as much as he also is the son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. So, guys, here in verse 8 and 9, Zacchaeus gets saved because it changed him. Our willingness to make restitution where it is possible is the proof of genuine, sincere repentance and confession. Restitution also reaffirms our faith in God and his provisions for our life. Zacchaeus, when faced with his sins of dishonesty, was so overwhelmed by the righteousness and holiness of Jesus that he conveniently converted to make restitutions for his error. Now, guys, I'm not saying that you absolutely have to make restitution, but when it's possible, you should. That's just a part of being a Christian. When possible to make restitution. I don't know about you guys, but I do a lot of wrong, you know. And my Bible tells me when possible to make restitution for my wrongs, okay? So the third point was restitution. Fourth point, thanksgiving. Go to Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything and prayer, everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgivings, let your requests be made known unto God. Thanksgivings, we went over this verse last week, but the key today is looking at being with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, look in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13, the last chapter of Hebrews 13, verse 15. Hebrews 13, verse 15 says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifices of praises to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. That's all part of thanksgiving, guys. What is the key to thanksgiving? The key to thanksgiving is to have a thankful heart, to be thankful for everything. Now, it's not always easy to be thankful, especially when you mess up. You know, I'm very good at that. But that's our key. The key to having thanksgiving in your heart is to have a thankful heart. Okay? That was point number four. Point number five, forgiveness. Go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to look at verses 12 through 15. Matthew 6, verses 12 through 15. It says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, I want you to notice in verse 14 and 15 that the only point the Lord emphasizes in this prayer is a necessity for forgiving one another. Now, forgiveness with the Father depends on forgiveness among our members, our brethren of the family of God. That's what this is talking about. This is not talking about forgiveness that leads to salvation, guys. Two different forgivenesses here. It says in verse 14 and 15, for if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you. This is talking about fellowship with brothers and sisters. There again, I want to reap on this. It's not talking about forgiveness that leads to salvation. Okay? So that was point number five, which was forgiveness. Point number six, unity. I'm gonna read to you Ecclesiastes 4:12. You don't have to go there. It says, and if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And if threefold cord is not quickly broken, a threefold cord is not quickly broken. So if you are at least in pairs, one falls and the other assists. Now this is, you know, it says, I think in Matthew where Jesus sends them out two by two, he didn't send one out at a time. He sent two out at a time. But what Ecclesiastes 4:12 is talking about, we're talking about unity. When you have another brother or sister with you in the Lord, one falls, the other one kind of helps pick them up. And then it says that even three is even better. Okay? Now, talking about unity, one of the marks of the early church was unity. In Acts 2, 41 through 47, where some 3,000 souls got saved. That was a revival, guys. 3,000 souls got saved in Acts 2, 41 through 47. But in 44, it said all the believers were together. It's talking about unity. Unity is going to make our lives as Christians a lot easier because we're there to support one another. So unity was point number six. Point number seven, faith. Go to the James. James. The book of James. I'm getting there. We're going to look in verse 1. James. Verse 1. We're going to look 5 through 8. And it's it. Chapter 1. James chapter 1. I'm sorry. James chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 5 through 8. James 1, 5 through 8 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the winds and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in his ways. Now, these verses suggest, as does the whole book of James, that we show our faith by our works. The text shows we should have a single eye and that our walk should be consistent with our talk. Look in James 2:18. It says, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. So, this point here was faith. And that was a good, very good example of it, James 2:18. Next point, petition. Go to Matthew chapter 7. We're almost there, guys. Bear with me. I'm sorry. Matthew chapter 7. You know, Brother Paul told me he put in new batteries in this here, and he said I could preach all day. So, but I won't, Pastor. Okay, we're looking at petition, Matthew chapter 7. We're going to read verses 7 and 8. It says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Verse 8, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. So here Jesus is saying, ask, seek, and knock. Suggests that we not only make our request known to God, but that we ought to be persistent in our prayer requests. Okay, so that's petition, point number 8. Point number 9, submission. Look in, we're in Matthew, go to Matthew 26. Matthew chapter 26. And we're going to look at verse 42. Matthew 6, verse 42. It says, he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may pass not away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. Submission, you know, it's never easy to me. It's not for me to say that, thy will be done. You know, because many times we might be in a certain situation that just not real comfortable for us. And I don't think I'm the only one here for that. You know, and to go to God and say, okay, God, thy will be done. And that's what he wants out of us. That's all submission is what that is. So that was the last point of what is the necessary ingredients of prayer. I want to read to you a quote from D.L. Moody. It says, I would 1,000 times rather that God's will should be done than my own. I cannot see into the future as God can. Therefore, it is a good deal better to let him choose for me than to choose for myself. When it comes to temporal matters, what I ask for may not be God's purpose concerning me. And I think we could all agree with that. So the necessary ingredients, some of the necessary ingredients for prayer is worship, confession, restitution where possible, thanksgiving, always having a thankful heart, forgiveness, we have to have forgiveness, unity, that's what we're doing here, we're gathering together, unity, faith, petition, and submission. These are all ingredients that we need for our prayer life. So let's go to the Lord in prayer here. And Lord, I just thank you, Father, for the ingredients that you give us, Lord. And there's many more, Lord, and this is just an outline. So, Father, I just pray, Lord, that you'll guide us, Lord, and you'll help us in our prayer lives and all that we do, Lord. Be with us today. If there's somebody here that don't know you today as their Lord and Savior, I pray today will be the day of salvation. Be with the workers at the fair, Lord, and help them and guide them. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.